I come out to my parents, and literally a week later, I have sex. And it was the best experience of my life. Wow. And I was like, wait, I don't know if that has to do with that. So let's just keep doing it again and again. And all of a
you said, I need to do some more market research. Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, and this week we have Nadia Mohabbat on the podcast, a hilarious, talented, gorgeous actor. If you don't follow her on TikTok or the old Instagram, you should. She is so funny and queer and just everything you want and more. Now, I want to wish you all an after Halloween. How are you, babe? Just because it really took a lot out of me. I don't know if you hear it in my voice, but she's exhausted. Maybe it's because Halloween was on a Monday this year, but God, all the shit we got to put ourselves through. I still have confetti up my hole. I'm kidding. But I luckily did not commit too hard to my costume because I knew I didn't have it in me. But did you see Matt's? Did you see my husband's Catwoman costume? We talk about it in this episode. You go to my Instagram, go to his Instagram so you can find it. Just iconic. I'm just going to leave that there. But you know what? With this in mind, I want to get straight to the meat of this episode with Nadia Mohabbat. We talk about so many important things, not only about what it was like to come out to your Muslim parents, but also about being outed or like shamed by someone whose Instagram handle is Kristen Stewart, telling her that Nadia is not queer enough to say she's queer. It is a interesting conversation, and I hope that you enjoy. Follow along at Gay Ass Podcast. Go get that character actress sweatshirt or the baby onesie at gayasspodcast.com. And I love you so much. Oh my goodness gracious, Nadia Mohabbat is on. That's a gay ass fucking podcast. Nadia, ever since I met you, I said to myself, this girlina needs to be a podcastiana, and here you are. Thank you for coming on, Nadia.
Oh my God, thank you so much for having me.
Are you kidding me? It is truly, the universe told me that this needed to happen, and I am nothing if not an action girl. I like to make things happen. So let me just get something out of the way. Happy Halloween. How are you doing? How are you holding up this season?
Happy Halloween. Okay, I don't like really celebrate Halloween. I love Halloween. Love it. I just like don't care to get dressed up.
Oh, it's not so because you're like a witch that like doesn't believe in the okay.
No, Halloween is my favorite holiday, yet I don't ever want to dress up. So I was like, okay, like when Halloween happens, like I love the whole month up to it, love all the little festivities, but then when it gets to Halloween, I'm like, okay, we can like skip the actual Halloween.
Is it because you're an actor that he doesn't want to put other people's clothes on and not get paid?
Okay Yes and no. That's actually what I always say, is that I don't like getting in costume. But then everyone's like, but you're an actor. I'm like, but that's not costume. Like that is, I am this character. That is my
profession is not a costume, because you wearing the weirdest costume for your profession. Yes. I mean, yes. Between us girls, I think the way you described it was beautifully said. When I describe it, I sound like a pretentious asshole. However, it is I don't love dressing up. Although this being said, I don't know if you saw on my social medias, but my dear husband dressed up as Catwoman for Halloween.
Yes.
The only thing that we're grappling with at this point is that it by far was the most incredible costume I've seen. And Michelle Pfeiffer posted a carousel of everyone who dressed up. And by everyone, I mean, like, of course, highlights of people who dressed up as Catwoman. Yeah. And Matt was not on there. Is Michelle Pfeiffer canceled?
Yes. 100%. Maybe she didn't see it, though.
She fucking better not have. If she had seen it, that should have been the fucking... I don't care if Miranda Kerr, is that her name? Some, like, model did is the first slide. Matt would have been... Oh. Listen, I feel like a stage mom at this point, because he was working on it for, I'm not joking, months to get to Halloween. He was practicing in his... And, of course, he wasn't doing it for a Michelle Pfeiffer reveal. But I will say, all the dreams came true. He did not break an ankle. He got compliments. The video that he posted is iconic. Obviously, yes. Director of photography is yours truly. So I just need to shout out to him and know that despite Michelle Pfeiffer's erasure, Matt, your Catwoman is the Catwoman. I think we just needed to say that.
It was so beautiful.
Thank you for saying
that. It was all over my timeline. I kept watching it. I'm like, oh my God, you look so good.
I kept watching it too. I just got, and some people, I was surprised by how much people sexualized it, not because he didn't look sexy, because he did. I was surprised that people were telling me that I was getting I should have a new kink of fucking Catwoman. And I didn't see it going to that place.
Oh my God. Okay, no.
I'm not gonna say no to fucking Catwoman, but I'm not gonna say like I wanna like pull on his like sewn on cat ears and like try to get through the black leather, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, no.
I don't need the suit to fuck. I need I'll say it with me, ladies. You need the body to fuck. You need the body to fuck. I don't need a cat suit.
I can see why people be turned on by that. I mean, look, I'm queer, and yet that was hot. I was like, you're sexy. Like, oh my God.
Oh my God, I know. It was so hot. It was so hot. And that's why people assume that I probably wanted to.
Exactly.
I wanted his black patent cat girlussy.
Yeah. Oh, ooh.
Cat womussy.
Cat.
Wait, was he cat girl or cat woman? What is it? I'm forgetting.
No, cat woman. Cat girl, cat woman,
cat wussy,
cat wussy.
Yeah, show me that cat wussy.
Ew, I'm nope, done.
And this was so fun. Thanks for coming on. Where can people follow you? I'm kidding. Okay, so so I need to tell you that the fact that you're on this podcast is so fucking exciting. I do need to already go to a controversial point.
Okay, yeah. What is
the controversial point is that you posted a while ago a really important message that some Kristen Stewart Instagram account that is not Kristen Stewart was giving you shit about your identity. What? Can you tell the girls what happened?
Oh my God, yeah, wait, I have to pull it up because it was a while ago. It is pinned on my Instagram, though.
Basically, what I read is that someone said that you are not queer because your partner at the time is male presenting, but you're like, excuse me, my partner is queer, was assigned.
Yes.
I mean, what?
Well, okay, besides that, it doesn't matter even how my partner identifies.
True.
Even though my partner, yes, exactly, right? But even though at the time my partner and I identified as being in a queer relationship, we both identify as queer. We're like, oh, this is a queer relationship. But I'm sure that other people look at us and we look cis presenting. Mm-hmm. So, or heteronormative.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's fine. But it still does not, it doesn't matter who I date. My identity is mine. And how I identify has nothing to do with who my current partner is. Mm. So this girl had messaged me and pretty much was just like, I don't like mean to disrespect you, but you know, you're not queer and you need to stop posting about being queer and just pretty much stop being you. And I was like, excuse me. I was so upset. And the reason why I was so upset is that is something that I struggled with for such a long time. Because almost all of my partners in the past were either non-binary, pretty much pronouns were either they, them, or he, him. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that has been pretty much every single one of my partners from the beginning. We were either in the relationship and they transitioned. So like, actually it was at one point, she, her, then transitioned and they were like, oh, I'm actually non-binary, they, them. And then, so like, I've almost all been with all my partners while they transitioned. So I have gone through this multiple times where I started off being like, oh, I identify as gay. And then halfway through, I'm like, okay, well, I need a word that's more inclusive. Uh-huh. And so that was for me, something that I went through for a very long time, trying to understand like, oh, what is my identity? What does it mean? And then I finally, after all that time, realized, wait, it doesn't matter how I identify. First of all, I identify as queer. Mm-hmm. And it's a very inclusive term, which includes just so many different identities. So I'm like, okay, that is how I'm going to identify. It doesn't matter who I date. Then to have someone slide into my DMs and then tell me that I'm not valid. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Speaking of Halloween, not today, Satan. Hello. On the devil's day, we say. But I gotta tell you something that I got, the girl that cuts my hair, her name I don't know, am I going to dox her? What, her name is Angela and we love, and she really is an ally. She, I would say, probably is not going to be teaching a class on queer activism, but she definitely like is a on the good, she's on the right side of herstory. And I bring her up because we talk about the Kardashians a lot. It's one of our shared things that we watch. And Caitlyn Jenner came up, which of course is right now being a monstress. But the question was, and she was saying, she was saying that she was really asking it out of a genuine questioning way about trying to be an ally and saying the right thing. So I'm going to pose this to you because you have a great perspective. Mm-hmm. If you identify as a female and you are dating someone who first uses she, her pronouns, then we have the they, them, journey, and then we go into he, him. Do you yourself, or do you as a partnership, when people ask you if you are then in a straight relationship, what do you say, if that's the question?
I feel like most people don't ask that you're in a straight relationship. Yeah. I think most people, this is the question that I got so much. People would be like, oh, you're queer. And then most people would like don't understand the word queer, but they'll be like, oh, you're queer. Oh, but you're dating a guy. And I got that so much. So that is mostly the question I got. Mm-hmm. And I will say that I kind of fucked up. And in the beginning of my relationships with almost all of these people, I would be like, oh, well, my partner's trans. And then one time, that's really fucked up. Dude, we should not do that. And then like somehow that validated, you know, my queerness. Like that's what I was doing. And my partner, one of my partners at the time was like, you cannot use my trans identity to validate who you are. And you're outing me every single time.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's really fucked up. You're so right. Like, I can't do that.
Hey,
so
can I get a double burger? By the way, they are trans. I'm queer. By the way, no pickles.
Yes.
Your partner's like, sweetheart, they did not need to know that you're ordering at Burger King.
That's when I was like, okay, well, then how do I let people know that I'm queer? And I was like, I don't. But that was like, all of this was pretty much for me to prove to people that I was queer. And the reason why I needed to constantly prove to people that I was queer is because I spent the majority of my life finally coming to terms that I was queer. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, yeah, here we are. We did it. And then everyone I date, we look like we're in a heteronormative relationship. And I'm like, well, no, I just spent my entire life going through so many struggles. Now I look like I'm in a straight relationship. What the fuck? So that's why I need to constantly prove. So back to your question, people don't ask anything about like looking like we're in a straight relationship, mm-hmm. but people would always ask, I don't understand how you're queer, which I then started to tell people, it doesn't matter who I date, I am valid in my identity.
As they said in La Cage aux Folles, I am what I am, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Bitch.
Exactly.
How about you stop asking what I am and start asking who you're voting for?
Yes. Yes. Which is also one of my exes said to never, ever out him to my parents. Mm. And I remember that was a conversation for a while where I was like, okay, but I came out to my parents as gay. Then I am dating someone who is a man. And I'm like, okay, well, they think I'm straight now. Like they literally straight think I'm straight. And I was fucking crazy for coming out as gay. And he goes, well, you could let them know that you're queer. And I was like, okay, I guess like, yeah, that is true. That's like the most I can do. But in my head, I kept thinking about how my parents perceive me and how they think I'm probably fucking crazy.
Listen.
But I was like, yeah.
It's how your parents perceive you as an adult is a very, and I wanted to like validate what you're saying, and I do not mean to trivialize this, but I'm going to bring up something very, very recent for me. Mm. My mom doesn't like the mustache, and I know this is not at all the depth of what you're talking about, but it does deal with perception. And
okay.
I'm not,
I'm like, I really thought it was going to be something serious. I'm like, oh, what?
So you see the long hair above my upper lip. I'm just saying that like our parents, how they feel about us, it really does play a role in our minds, and something as deep as your identity and as who you are with, and also is your queerness, all the way to me FaceTiming my mom. She was like, your nephew wants to say hi to you. And she's like, I prefer your beard. And I was like, oh, I actually didn't ask your opinion. But I feel
I like had a whole inner monologue about it. Anyways, I will say that it just like it to validate your point, it really does matter what our parents feel and think, but like to be an adult and also try to stand up.
Yeah.
It's all very complicated.
Do you want to hear something crazy that you just said that it reminded me of this? So to pretty much validate what you said, even though I said it and you validated it, but I'm going to validate it again. What our parents think is so important, and it's not, but it's like, it is for some reason. When I finally came out to my parents, my sex life before that was, it was okay. Mm-hmm. Like it was there, you know? But I didn't really, really enjoy is not the right word. I just wasn't as comfortable. Okay. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I wasn't as comfortable. I come out to my parents and literally a week later, I have sex, and it was the best experience of my life. Wow. And I was like, wait, I don't know if that has to do with that. So let's just keep doing it again and again. And all of it.
You said, I need to do some more market research.
Yes, I do. And I put two and two together. And after a lot of sex, I realized I fully wasn't comfortable with myself until I came out to my parents.
Wow.
And then I was able to actually enjoy sex. It was
Nadia, that is huge.
I know.
Because you know what it proves is that our conscious and subconscious minds are so worried about the people that raised us and how they perceive us. And even if you didn't think that the way your parents know you affects your sex life, It turns out.
It does.
I do love that you were like had to do so much experimentation to find out. And I thought you were going to say, and then it turns out I found out I was addicted to sex. I'm kidding. But I feel like that it truly is a very real relationship between how you authentically live your life to the people who love you and then how your actual life feels day to day, because it's complicated for me because like I always talk about how like as Jews we have no boundaries, and I feel like in one side of it I want to be authentically who I am, but also I'm realizing that I don't need to say everything it's like, okay, well it's like I was even thinking truly about when I have kids one day, because a lot of my friends are having kids and I have all these nephews, and I'm like, you know, I want my kids to genuinely feel safe to communicate their emotions and to know that feeling sad or angry or whatever it is a very valid emotion, and to communicate it is good, but to also know that they don't need to tell me every single thing. I think when I was growing up, in a way that my parents were very much doing this with what good intentions, and I truly don't blame them, but I think they were like wanting me to feel safe, and I did, but it sometimes can go into the place of you find there's a gray area between what is helpful to talk about versus what should just be for you or either your partner, your friendship, your work, whatever the fuck it is. It's all very interesting. I got to say, though, all this talk about parents makes me want to ask you the famous podcast question, which is, Nadia Mohabbin, whose fault is it that you're queer? Who do we blame, babe?
I blame my parents. Well, no, obviously I was born this way, but I blame my parents. And this is what I think of specifically every single time. Obviously it's a joke, but it's just a funny joke. My dad growing up would always be like, no guys allowed. Don't talk to boys. Like, let me know. I'm going to kill them if you ever talk to boys. And I'm like, he would scare me and terrify me. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, I never wanted to talk to boys, Dad.
You said, go on, kill them. See what I care.
Yeah, I didn't care. And it like makes sense. When I was in high school, I remember when he would always be like, a guy can't come pick you up. And I'd be like, why not? Like, no, this guy's coming to pick me up. That's so weird. Because guys think with their peepees. And I was okay.
not peepees. You have a video on TikTok that I find to be so funny, which is like about how you were dating your best friend, where your best friend was like, I'm not gay. And then cut to a year later, you're fully making out. I feel this especially with, not to generalize, but I feel like especially with girls, there is much less of a stigma about like closeness in friendship. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's partly why a lot of us gay guys are surrounded by women growing up, because not only are you, our girlfriends such allies and like mm-hmm. and such lifesavers, but also we get the intimacy that we're craving in a friendship that society tells us you can't have with a guy. There's like a joke, I see a meme going around that's like, if a straight guy has just met a guy, they've hung out one time, he's your bud. If you've hung out for 35 years, he's still your bud. It's like, there, it does not change. Whereas, like, I think women are more allowed to have closeness. But then, of course, if you're queer, then that, I'm sure the lines can feel a little blurred.
That's so funny you say that, because this entire past 2 weeks, I've been thinking, why are all of my best friends since college, they're all gay guys.
Oh, wow.
And right now, my closest three best friends, all different, are gay men.
Wow.
And even like then beyond that, then I'm like, okay, my second group of close friends, they're all gay men. It's like, what is wrong with me?
Wait, no, there's nothing wrong. You are an icon. You need your own pride float. Wait. Let me get into this, the gay friends of it all. So can you tell me, just because now I'm a gossipy bitch, can you tell me, are like your closest three, are they all close friends with each other? Are any of them dating each other? What's that?
Yes. Okay. So now they are. So the in college, I had a theater best friend and then a non-theater best friend. Okay. We never did things together for some reason, yet we all went to the same college. But it's like, if I wasn't with my best friend, Abel, I'd be with my best friend, Tiziano. He was my theater best friend. And then we all moved to LA, not together, but within the past like 5 years, we all moved. And now I would say within the past year, we are all in the same group chat. We all do everything together. We're all best friends. Now, Tiziano has a partner, Gabrish, who moved out here in the past like 8 months. I have become best friends with him as well, like individually, where if Tiziano leaves and goes somewhere, I hang out with Gabrish.
Can I just ask, are these names made up? They are the most gorgeous. Yeah. You're like, and then...
yes,
Unicornita comes in. I'm like, okay, hold the phone. These names are
getting true. I have a very diverse.
Wait, can you say the names of the Titi? What is it again?
Tiziano.
Tiziano, we love.
Tiziano. Gabrish is Polish.
Gabrish, we love.
And Abel, Ethiopian.
Oh my God, what is going on with your like? We are the gay world. We are my gay Persian. Children, and you're Persian. This is I'm like college admissions ads wish they could see a brunch.
I know.
So I see. So there are a partner set there.
Yes. And then so it's like, and then like even when I go outside of that, then I have all these friends who are also all unrelated, gay, men. And I do have a girl best friend who is Allie. Allie is queer, that's how she identifies, but woman, female. So that is my only right now closest queer best friend, I would say. Mm-hmm. Love her. I'm never gonna date her. Like literally, I feel like she's a sister of mine. So it's like, okay, it works out. It's perfect. But other than that, I don't hang around that many close. I don't have that many close lesbian best friends anymore. In college, I did. In college, I did. Krista. Krista's my best friend from college.
We love Krista.
Yes. Love Krista. We did everything together. Also, we like in college, we ended up having a threesome, not on purpose. It was the only time I had a cisgendered boyfriend. And so we did have a threesome with a cisgendered boyfriend.
Oh, thank God for you. You were probably in hog heaven.
After that, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely after dating him. I was like, oh, I'm definitely gay. And also, I don't count him when people are like, oh, how many people have you dated? I always forget to count him.
Yeah, well, but that's besides the point. For a reason.
But after Krista and I had that sexual encounter, we were like, wow, we're so much closer. And I love you, like, as a friend. Like, you're my best friend. And so she's still my best friend.
But isn't that like the queer tale as old as time where you hook up first and then you become good? Like, I think that's like, that's a very beautiful story that us queer people really get to embrace. And I have to say that with the queer friends of it all, I have found it very interesting to meet straight people in LA because it doesn't happen very often. But let me tell you something. I was at a Halloween party this weekend, and this has happened to me before where I'm talking to a cute guy. And I gotta tell you something, Matt and I have had such healthy, beautiful, flirtatious moments recently that I want to brag about, because I posted on my Instagram recently that I fell in love with someone on an airplane, and a few people were like, what about your husband? And I was like, who? I'm like, first of all, he not only like is fine with my flirtation, but also he knows that I'm a human being with a like a brain and a body, because it is so, if you think that your partner is not gonna have a crush or be attracted to someone else, you've got another thing coming. C-U-M-M-I-N-G, honey. I just feel like it is, all this to say, I was at a bar last night and this 6'5" mustached man walks in the bar, and I was like, holy shit, that guy is just like hot and tall. And I'm usually not into taller guys because I feel afraid, but I said, Matt, can I go up to him? And Matt said, yeah, whatever. And I went up to him, had a 5-minute beautiful flirtatious conversation, I shook his hand and I left, and that was it. And it was like really healthy. All this to say, I go to the Halloween party, full circle, and I'm talking to this guy, flirting away, and as a joke I was like, so where's your girlfriend? He goes, right over there. I was like, fuck. I was like, this is such an LA story where like all the guys, like a lot of the guys here are very sensitive and not the guys I went to high school with. And so they are fucking straight. They just happen to be cute and sensitive. And I'm like, fuck. He did seem to enjoy the flirting though. So I'm not going to, you know, say that he isn't maybe some sort of queer, but he definitely was not going to do anything but smile at me.
Yes. Recently, I've had so many straight friends. These one of my closest friends now, Andrea. Okay, wait, that is here's an example. Circle back to what we were just talking about. Andrea is one of my best friends who is a straight girl. But I'll tell you that 20% of our jokes is about the fact that we're two girls and we might kiss. Two girls in a room, two best friends in a room.
Oh my God. Have you kissed yet?
No. Well, no. Why do I have to think about that? Well, no, we have not. We haven't. We were thinking about a concept that involves us kissing. And then we had a whole full-on conversation. She has a boyfriend. I love her boyfriend. He has become one of my close friends. I'm like, you guys cannot. I know.
You have such a nice circle of like queer, like partnered, like your joke, half joking about maybe kissing. When you said concept, I pictured you talking about like, we're going to maybe do an activation, like how like PR people talk about it, like events. We're going to do a kissing activation.
Yes, I was like, there's this concept that I want to do with her, and
next
and
time I want to bring up any sort of like flirting or making out, I'm gonna be like, so I have an idea for a concept.
Yes, literally.
The concept is you grab my face.
Yes, and we have to make out, and then your boyfriend will take pictures of us, and that's literally what the concept is.
Wait, that's a really good concept.
But then there's like this whole thing that we want to do, whatever, to pretty much make merch. And the whole thing is that she's my straight best friend, is what we say. My straight, in quotes, sure, straight best sure. friend. Because we like joke about the fact that like me, her, and her boyfriend are all going to buy a house together.
Wait, that's but so separate, good.
Yes. We're like, we want to buy a house. It's so expensive in LA. Let's buy a house. But we'll be in separate wings.
So
but
good.
It's like, we're a truple. What is it called? Thruple?
Thruple, yeah.
Truple. Obviously, never
that's
use that
the,
word.
That's the Italian pronunciation. The truple.
The truple. Wait, why was I saying, what was I talking about?
Well, because Andrea, about kissing.
But that was, I don't remember why I originally brought it up, but just full circle, she is someone who is my straight best friend who I'm able to have that friendship with her. But yes, yeah, do we joke about kissing all the time? Sure. About me being gay, being obsessed with her.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. That's part of it, but that's part of the fun. We have a great time doing it.
Can
but,
I tell you what's yeah. controversial about why that's such a good idea?
Yeah.
It's because I think that being queer is, dare I say the word, in right now. I think that people are real. First of all, of course, like Gen Z, a lot of people are identifying as queer because they're not only honoring their authentic selves, but it's hopefully becoming a better world to do so. On the flip side of it, though, I think it's also fucking cool and great to really be who you are and be queer. And so I think some straight girls that were to see that merch... Mm-hmm. might be able to feel a bit part of the cool queer kids club and be able to be like, oh, quote unquote straight. Because listen, I know there's at least 1 to 100,000 straight girls that are jealous that they're not queer.
I also think, okay, but the other side of that is that I think a lot of people, I think sexuality is a spectrum, right? And I think a lot of people just, I've had conversations with so many straight people who are like, I just identify as straight, even though I'm not, but I do have a boyfriend or I am married. I do have a fiance and it's like, I don't need to, there's no need to be like, oh, I'm queer. There's no need.
Oh,
like,
totally.
It's fine. So, yeah.
That's a very good point. I think that there are, like, to cancel myself on that, I think that there are also a lot of quote-unquote straight women who do know that they are on a queer spectrum. And so I think it actually, it pleases the fully straights that are so far straight, but they still want to be considered kind of cool, to the people who are considering themselves straight, but also would are 100% have queer inclinations within.
Yes, 100%.
I do. Speaking of straight people, though, I need to ask you about I really dug deep when I was looking at your internet footprint. And is it true that you were in the acting class in the rehearsal on HBO?
Oh, I was. Yes, I don't know how you went from straight people to this. I was like
Nathan Fielder. Nathan Fielder is so fucking straight.
Yes. I was, that is true. Yes, I was in Nathan Fielder's new show that just came out. Okay, the reason why I don't really talk about it is because when people watch that, it looks like that I'm one of the millions of actors that are in Los Angeles, but only like 12 people got chosen to work with Nathan Fielder in this documentary style comedy, you know?
Right.
But that's not what I mean. It was technically what that was, but that's not
the dirt.
But it was like that entire thing was like audition, callback. Okay, now you're pinned. Okay, great, we got it. So many NDAs were signed. You got the script day of. These are all your lines. This is all this. Okay, great. It was like so everything was just happening so fast and so last minute, but so many NDAs. And then we get on set, we do it, whatever. And I had this inkling that they were gonna just cut anyone who had scenes and lines, and they did. So I look like an extra, but I know. And so for me, I was like, I just went through this entire process to just look like I'm an extra in the back because they cut all my lines. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, that's fine. But as someone, I guess for me, I don't know if it's my pride or not, but as someone who went from a reoccurring role on an Apple TV show with all award-winning people to like looking like an extra, I'm like, okay, you know what? That's a part of life. It's okay. It's the part of the journey. But at the same time, like, I know so many people have reached out to me because they're like, that's so cool. And I'm just thinking like, oh, wait, I think it's because people just think I'm an actor that got chosen out of the millions of actors in Los Angeles to get to work with Nathan Fielder.
Right, right.
Which is like technically sure, but no, it was like a whole audition process.
Yeah, you had
and
a
everything.
Role that
like,
you
know.
What do you think the reason is that they cut all the actual scripted lines that you learned?
I don't know. I honestly don't know, but that's TV business. That's show business, baby. Like,
yeah, it's so basically what people see is then that you are attending the class where
I'm playing the other actor,
right.
But like all my lines were what I think this is what it was. All my lines were what the other actor said.
Uh-huh.
So pretty much all our am I allowed to talk about this? Yes. Yeah. The show's out.
Yeah.
So all the lines were like what the, I'm playing another actor. So all my lines are what she said. But if technically, I guess when they edit it, the person I'm playing, they edit out all her lines, then they probably will edit out all my lines.
And
also, if you think about it, even if they were to not edit out her lines, then why would you have her say that line and then also me say that line?
Yeah,
that's just,
you know
what I mean?
It's like a chain reaction of cuts, and you were just the, what's the word? You were the collateral damage of the tons of editing and cutting that was occurring.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what it was. And also if whoever is listening to this has not seen
the Nathan
Fielder show, the rehearsal, they're not going to understand anything that we're just
saying.
That's
true. So if this entices you, if this entices you to watch it, go off, sis. I really enjoyed it. It's a very polarizing show. So I'll just say that. Speaking of though polarizing shows, you worked with then Sarah Bareilles in
Little Voice.
So
yes.
True or false, Sarah Bareilles, no one is better.
Literally. Okay. I was not necessarily a fan. Like I liked her. I grew up with her. But getting to work with her every day for 6 months, well, every other day, let's say, because I was reoccurring, was absolutely incredible. She's so sweet. She's so nice. She's fun. Like, that was my boss.
Thank God you're saying that, because she truly is. I don't know if you are as much of a musical theater girl as I am, but there is, Sarah Bareilles has been doing Into the Woods on Broadway, and the cast recording for Into the Woods, Sarah Bareilles is the standout. We all know, obviously, that she's an amazing performer and a singer, but the way she not only did the show, she was so funny, but she's also just, I think, one of the greats of our generation, if I can say that. She is, like, not only a great songwriter, but she's clearly beyond multi-talented. And I am ashamed to say that I'm not, like, watching Girls 5 Eva every second of my life, but I am thrilled that they are getting a season 3 on Netflix. So thank God for that. But I think just Sarah Bareilles, if she will EGOT, she will do it. She will take over the world, and she should.
And she should, and she deserves it. When I tell you that this was probably one of the best sets that I've been on in terms of how many women were on that set and how much, like, when I tell you that Sarah Bareilles and also Jesse Nelson was the showrunner, they both did not care what your following is like, who you are, what credits you have as an actor. They just want whoever can perform the role the best, and if you are genuinely a good person. So when I tell you all my castmates, okay, except for one person, but everyone else was the nicest person I've ever met. I will not tell you the tea.
You see my eyes. I don't want you to talk shit on the one actor, but of course it makes me think of, like, every reality show that I watch on TV. Yes. And, like, I just, the onset dynamic of all joys to work with and then one bad apple, that is, you know, that's just a part of being in a workplace. Let's just say that.
It is. It is. But it's, like, just making sure from, like, being comfortable on set, supporting us, how, and being nice. Like, I am not, I'm so bad at articulating how I felt on the set, but it was one of the best experiences. And I've been on millions of sets. It is one of the best experiences because of how great Sarah Bareilles and Jesse Nelson.
Bless
were.
Them. Incredible. Let us all raise an invisible glass. And I'm sipping. Okay, if you're sipping a glass right now, what are you sipping that would taste the best to you right now?
Negroni. Just a regular one.
The whole Spagliato shit. I really can't.
Although, I don't need all that.
I do think some people dressed up as Negroni Spagliato for Halloween. I thought that was a good cultural touch point.
Yes.
Just very good timing. There's a lot. I forgot that Halloween costumes right now, it's really fun if you do, like, a meme that you've seen on the internet and do the meme for your Halloween costume.
Yes.
I think next year I want to be... you know what I realized? And I shouldn't say this because I might do it next year, but I think I want to dress up next year as the stage manager from Sister Act 2, who says, take your robes off, take off your robes. It's a very specific part of Sister Act 2 where they're about to go on stage for Joyful, Joyful Lord. And then there's a stage manager with a headset that says, take off your robes because you're going to do it all just in your street clothes. And it's so niche, and by your face, I will have to explain it 20 times a night. However, I think it's going to be worth it to be the Sister Act 2 stage manager.
I'm Googling it.
Just Google take off your robes and you'll see it. But also, I do need to ask you, because a lot of your videos that I love so much, if anybody's listening that doesn't follow Nadia on any of the social media, I really implore you to, because your TikTok, your Instagram is so good. There is such a dark piece of comedy about how you always envision coming out to your dad would go.
Oh, I swear. Okay, also, for anyone who does not follow me, so far, I would say 99% of my content is based on true events. So that specific TikTok is based on how I actually thought it was going
to
go.
So you actually thought that you were going to come out to your Muslim dad at his funeral and you're going to be speaking it into his coffin.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I sure did. And then when I saw that was a trend where people, when that trend happened, people were going to the coffin and they're talking to whoever died. But for everyone's trend, it was mostly they're talking to their best friend. Uh-huh. They're like, oh my God, why are you dead? Blah, blah. But when I saw that, I was like, I have the most incredible idea. This has to do with my dad. And I made the TikTok and I remember posting it and it didn't get that much traction. And I thought it was so funny. So then I posted it on Instagram and it got traction there. Then out of nowhere, it started to go viral on my TikTok, But the comments, I got onto the wrong side of TikTok. Oh, so all the comments were like, this is so fucked up. I'm like, it's dark humor. It's actually hilarious
and
to me.
And listen, I think a lot of us had really dark thoughts before we came out about how it would go. And that is on honesty.
Yes, that is. And I did get so many comments as well being like, holy moly, I thought the same thing. Like, I thought this is how I'm going to have to come out. And I'm like, it's relatable.
What do you say now if like, if someone was like, okay, so coming out to your Muslim parents in a nutshell, what do you say?
Mm-hmm. I would say that it wasn't as terrifying as I made it out to be, like at all. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of buts. And the one but I would say is, I think everything happens for a reason. I would not have wished to do it earlier or anything. Like, it happened at the exact time it had to happen. But I say that, and I'm just going to quickly tell you this one story about how when I came out to my parents, it went so well. I went and told my one only gay Persian friend, and then she went and came out to her parents like 2 weeks later. We both thought we were never going to come out to my parents or our parents, our own parents. Yeah. And she went and did it, and her mom was not okay with it. And it was such a bad reaction. And I felt like it was my fault.
No.
So what I learned from that experience is, you know your parents best. And if you truly feel that your parents are not, if your life is in danger, if you think your life will be in danger, do not do it. Mm-hmm. The right time, the right place. And my one thing was like, I wanted to leave the house, not live with my parents, be financially stable. I used to always say, I want to be financially stable enough that if I were to get arrested for some reason and I needed bail, I would have the money. So that's like, that was always like, if when that happens, then I'll come out to my parents. But obviously that did not happen. And I came out to my parents and because I had to. But I would just say that it was not as scary, and I'm glad it happened.
Are you now, do you now know that it wasn't your fault that your friend had a bad experience with her parents?
Yes, yes, I do know. I do know.
How is your friend doing now? Are they okay?
Yeah, yeah. She was fine. She was like, whatever, it's fine. But I'm like, I know that still impacts you in some way. So that affects you.
And it's also, it's so tough because, as you're saying, everyone's experience is so individual, and it's impossible to, you know, when I was a freshman in college, I still had not come out to my grandpa, and I only have one living grandparent. I talk about him. He's 94 years old now. He is such a great guy. He was at our wedding. I mean, just a mensch through and through, but I really was terrified. I mean, at that point, he was still, you know, in his 80s, and I did not know how he was going to react, and I'll say this story till I die, because he could have had a horrible reaction, but what he said was, Eric, thank you for telling me. I don't love you any less. In fact, I think I love you more.
I'm going to cry. Oh my God.
And the fact that we were sitting at a Jewish deli while he said this, I was like, oh my, it just like it. But again, you do not know what's going to happen. And of course your mind runs really wild, and you know, all this to say, if you like you're saying, if you do think that there's going to be a place of endangerment or whatever it is, like, trust your gut, but also know that your mind is going to go into a lot of scary places. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully if your gut is correct and you know that you have that love there, it's going to be okay. And then you're going to get railed soon after and feel great.
Yes, exactly.
If you're naughty, you're going to have the best sex of your goddamn life.
Yes.
I do need to ask you, I'm getting away with this episode because I'm having such a gorgeous time talking to you. I need to ask you a podcast question that I haven't asked.
Yes.
Nadia, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Okay, am I saving this actress because we're going to fuck, or?
I mean, no one's ever taken it that way, but I love that you are. Listen, you can fuck this character actress when the world's ending. Sure. Do whatever the fuck you want with this character. I mean, with their consent, please do.
Yes, yes. Like, yes. And this is the actress itself, or is it a character?
I would say the actress themselves that you like, know they've had a gorgeous range of IMDb credits, but you also want to spend time with them after the world ends. But also if that involves sucking and fucking, hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know why the first person I thought of, and I'm just gonna go with this person, and I'm not necessarily saying this is my like number one favorite person, but this is the first person I thought of, Emma Stone.
Oh, yes.
She's so hot. I think she's so incredibly talented, and she's so funny. We're going to have the best time ever.
Really good answer. Emma Stone. Yes. You know what? Because listen, there's going to be a listener that's going to message and say, Emma Stone is more of an ingenue. And I'm going to say, if you have that lisp, you're a character actress. Yes, and not even a lisp. You're just like, she has that style of just like, I'm Emma Stone. That's giving Drew Barrymore. But you know what I'm saying. She's like, just, yes. She's easy A. I feel like even she was like, you know what it is? Not, I would never want to reference Superbad in this gay podcast, but she on Superbad felt like a safe place to me because she was surrounded by these doofus straight guys, but she was just like, I'm cool, I'm hot, yes. But I'm also not like, she would have been nice to the gay guys in high school in Superbad.
Exactly. Okay, wait, I just thought of someone else if you want to like character-y actor.
Sure.
I'm going to say her name, I might butcher. Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh, Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah. Very good answer.
She is such a good actress. Like, I want to be like her.
Would you also like to sleep with her, or is she...
No. I'm okay. That's okay.
I love that you're like, you know, I don't need any more. I don't need a drink. I'm okay.
and she's beautiful. It's just... Just no.
No, it's okay. Listen, yeah, I'm not going to force you to fuck Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah. You're like, it's just, you know, I'm
Thank
sure
you
that
so
she...
much.
Wait, can I tell you my cancelable offense is that I thought you were going to say, just because you are queer, I thought you were going to say Sarah Paulson when I was envisioning like a really good character actor. Oh. I was like, you're going to want to fuck Sarah Paulson. But like...
No, I don't care. Since we're the last people on Earth, I don't care whether or not you're queer because you have no one else to fuck.
You've got no other choices. Oh my God. You know, I always like people are like, if the world was ending and like, if you had to fuck, I feel like always like apocalyptic scenarios would come up when you're growing up. And I would always be like, God, I hope it's a guy that ends up being the only other person left in the world. And he'll have no choice but to like ask for my
mouth. Was that before you realized you were gay?
Oh, it was it was before it came out, but during the stages of denial. Just like, No. I just want the world to end and only be another guy because I'm curious. And it's like, no, sweetie, you just are trying to be on the D, bite on the dick. Yes. Listen, Nadia, I feel like that we have run the gamut with these topics, but I sadly have to end this conversation by asking you a question that I did not prep you on. Nadia Mohaven.
Oh my God, yeah.
What is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
The Cinderella is my favorite Whoopi Goldberg movie.
Cinderella, Whoopi Goldberg's in this movie. Okay, we love that answer so very much. Ugh, Nadia, just a queen through and through. Nadia, where can people follow you?
They can follow me on TikTok, on Instagram, or on YouTube at Nadia Mohaven. I know that's a really hard name.
But it's linked. It's linked in the description. Yeah, spell it out.
Okay, Nadia Mohaven.
Bam, 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 bam. Yes. Ugh, Nadia, thank you for coming on this Gay Ass Podcast. It was such a treat to have you on, and see you in the LA streets soon.
Yay! Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Mwah.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.